Welcome, FinTech Talkers, to another edition of the FinTech Talk Show. I'm your host, Patty. My guest today is Deep Varma, CTO of Alchemy, one of the leading digital banking platform companies. Alchemy provides financial institutions a complete digital banking solution to securely onboard, engage, grow retail and business users for banks and credit unions. Stay tuned today if you want to learn more about what's next in digital banking and how AI has the potential of transforming this category with hyper-personalized and individual banking. Welcome, Deep, to the FinTech Talk Show.
Thank you, Patty. Thanks for having me here today.
Great. So before we get into all the fun stuff about digital banking and what Alchemy does, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what got you into this journey now at Alchemy? And feel free to talk about things you're passionate about outside of work as well.
100%. So what I'm passionate about outside the work is 49ers. I will tell, this is one of the years I'm really very optimistic that 49ers are going to make it to Super Bowl, but keeping
looks like
my
they're
fingers
going to,
crossed.
Yeah.
They're going to.
At least the playoffs, yeah. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah, mm-hmm. At least the playoffs. Thank you. I'm an optimistic person, so I'm looking into Super Bowl, but playoffs, you're right. I'm a technologist. You know, I've been based here in Silicon Valley for over 25 years now. So what I tell you that what I'm passionate, when I'm not doing work, I'm still learning the new technologies. That's what I still do. I'm still doing the coding for myself and just to see how technology is evolving, because I grew up in the Silicon Valley from the floppy days to the hard drives, you know, so I have seen it all. So I'm passionate about outside of 49ers, definitely technology, and then spending a good time with the family, right? Those are the three things I enjoy. A little bit, let me tell you why I came to Alchemy. I think Patty, the way I look into it, when you compare the U.S. trillions of dollars of economy, there are three major pillars of U.S. economy: health, real estate, and banking. Everyone wants a place to live. That's a real estate. Everyone wants a good health tech. Everyone wants money. That's banking. That's where the trillions of dollars of economy plays into. And I think last over 10 years, I have, you know, I started spending time into real estate, which is Zillow. We have changed how people buy and sell homes. When I bought my first home, it was a painful process. And now buying a home is simpler. Then I end up going into the banking. Before joining Alchemy, I was at Varo Bank. This is, you know, we got our charter, we opened that bank, de novo bank, from the ground up by building the technology. So I was the CTO there. I'm proud what we have done. But now when I look into, US is lagging behind when it comes to innovation in the banking industry. And I think we are ready for that innovation. Investors are ready, regulators are ready. And what I saw next 5 to 10 years, we are going to go through this massive transformation in this industry. And I saw Alchemy is a place which provides this digital sales and service platform where we can help financial institutions, credit unions, and the banks to provide that digital experience to the consumers, to the end members. So that was one of the driving force for me to come to an Alchemy, because, you know, we have over 200 financial institutions on our platform. We have 17 million members on our platform. So how I'm going to be part of this transformation in this banking sector, while at the same time scaling this technology to reach out to more and more end consumers. So that's why I came to Alchemy.
Great, great. And you've been around the block, right? So you've done the real estate lending, also worked at a fintech or a neobank. I'd love to, if you get time, talk a little bit about what's going on in that space. But let's kind of dive into the Alchemy piece. Obviously, you're doing something right? You have 200 financial institutions a customer. I did some research before doing the podcast. You're kind of well-regarded, especially in the credit union, but also in the banking community, banking mid-sized bank space, as a digital solution provider. There's some others who had that kind of leadership role, but clearly you are kind of Alchemy is the leader. So you're doing something right. And I was looking at your LinkedIn and you talk about kind of techfin as kind of a category. So for our audience, can you kind of define techfin and yeah. kind of contrast it to fintech and also like big tech, if you will?
Yeah, no, definitely. This is an interesting topic because let me take you back to 2013, that time frame. E-Trade is the first one which came out and they said, you know, we are going to build this technology to make it easier for the end consumers to trade in the marketplace rather than going through this agent framework of the trading and all those things. What is fintech? Fintech is, I'm a financial institution and that is my primary domain expertise, and I'm using technology to drive the change, right? So that's, but when you think about from that angle, do I need to move to Kubernetes? Do I need to worry about ChatGPT? All this is you think about it, but you don't invest first because technology is not first in your mind, right? Now let's change the paradigm and think from a techfin point of view. Techfin is technology first, which is building the financial solutions. And I compare this with Salesforce. Is it Salesforce is a sales company, or is it a technology company which is building the solutions for the optimizing the sales and the customer 360? So Techfin is a technology company which is building the financial solutions, but your decision-making process, your prioritization, your budget allocation, everything goes from the technology first. And then there are strategic pillars needs to be put into a place when you think from a techfin point of view. You know, are you reliable? Do you have the quality products? Like, are you building the quality? Do you have, you know, this performance into a place? Can you scale? You know, when you see from efficiency, all those factors goes in, techfin is building a platform which can plug into building the financial solution. So that's what, and I started shifting and saying, when you come to Alchemy point of view, Alchemy is providing a digital sales and service platform. So we are a platform play. So we provide the platform, and then our platform is used by a lot of financial institutions. And that's why we consider ourselves as a techfin company. Now, let me change a little bit what you asked me about, you know, hey, compare it, contrast it with the big tech, right? What is the difference, right? So when you think from Google's and Apple's point of view, they have a far reach about the consumers, what they have. Consumers are not demanding, if I'm buying something, can you make this transaction an experience as a part of that? Why do I need to go out, right? So what big techs are doing is they are bringing this integration points into your experience to make it much more easier. And they are leaning on the technologies of the platforms to build that, right? So for example, Apple came up with their credit card, but they're using Goldman Sachs for that, right? Right. So big techs, are they're going in the direction how they're going to make a seamless experience for those millions of consumers when they are in their shopping experience or when they are trying to search rather than going through a different hoops. And I think when I see about Alchemy, you know, that's the platform what we play in the middle. So that's how I differentiate between techfin, fintech, and how it comes with the big tech player.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that. And I love that kind of category, TechFin. It's not being talked about too much, right? People talk more about fintech and obviously big tech. And I love your example of Apple and Goldman. I know that kind of they're, at least in the card business, they're kind of splitting up. It's just happening, right? They're looking for a new partner. So it'd be interesting. So going into the kind of the digital banking space, right? So I see it as table stakes, right? All banks, all credit unions need to have a digital, like online and mobile and so on and so forth. So how does one, as a platform player, as a TechFin player, how does one differentiate themselves in this type of environment, right? Is it functionality or is it some of the things you said, right? But I'll let you answer. How do you differentiate?
I think, so this differentiation, Paddy, you're asking from Alchemy's point of view, or you're talking about the financial institution's point of view?
Actually, answer both. So I had kind of was thinking of asking you, how do you, Alchemy differentiates to the financial,
yeah,
and how
sure.
do you help financial institutions make the case that this is important for their customers as well?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. So let's start from Alchemy's point of view, and then I'm going to.
Mm-hmm.
So think about, I'm a credit union, I'm a bank. What is my goal? My goal is to serve my members. That's my goal. And my goal is how I'm going to make sure that, you know, my members, they, rather than taking them to the foot traffic, because if you see, there was a day when I opened up my first banking account, I still remember I had to go to a branch to do this. Now, I don't remember when was the last time I opened up a bank account, I went there. So credit unions and banks, when they see themselves, they are seeing more and more foot traffic is moving towards the online for the simple things. You know, I have to transfer $100 from my checking account, from saving account to checking account. I'm not going to go to a branch. So I'm going to use the browser-based system maybe to log in if I'm at home. Now I'm at the gas station and I have $20, but I have money in my saving. What I'm going to do, I'm going to open up my app and I'm going to transfer the money to my checking account, swipe my debit card, put the gas, and I'm done. I'm not going to carry cash. Digitization is forcing credit unions and banks to invest in that area. Now, there is a big underlying technology which goes into it, right? How consumers are going to see it, what kind of the, you know, the core they are using, the ledger system they are using behind the scene, what is your bill pay system, what is your RDC system. It is a complicated ecosystem when it comes. And credit unions and banks, because they are fintech, they are not TechFin, they have to either pour millions and millions of dollars to build that technology, or they go and say, our goal is to help our consumers, which is aligned with our mission and purpose. And what they do is they partner up with companies like Alchemy,
mm-hmm.
which provides the digital platform. Now, when those financial institutions, they look into companies like Alchemy, which is their technology partner, there are four things what I ask them to look into. Number one, is this company, the platform company, do they have experience in doing what they're doing? We've been in business since 2009. We have been building this digital service service and sales platform since 2009. So we know all the nuts and bolts of that integration. So we have experience. Now, if you go and find a company which just started 1 year back, they don't have that experience. So you just can't go and outsource your technology to someone else. So one is, do they have a proven experience? Number two, do they have a modern technology which can scale? Because what's going to happen is over the period of time, the days, if you remember, Paddy, SLA of 99%, uptime of 99.9%, the day is coming when it is all going to be 100% uptime. Consumers are demanding it. Is this technology partner have a modern technology which can scale? It is a cloud-based. It is using everything to give the best reliability and quality to the consumer. So modern technology. The third, do they have high quality products? Do they have all the integrations in their ecosystem that you need as a financial institution to move fast in the marketplace? You know, the real-time payments coming in, Zelle coming in. You're not going to wait for years for that innovation to happen, so you need to move fast. So third is high-quality products. And the fourth one, which sometimes we don't look into, is the strong leadership. Do this technology partner have the right leadership team to scale the business? So Alchemy differentiation comes into a picture. We have this digital sales and service platform, which we have built, which enables you as a financial institution to go and digitize and connect with your members at a faster pace without you investing your own resources and money. And we providing you a platform which we have experience, where we have built it on modern technology. We have the integrations for you, and we have the leadership which can do it. So that's the differentiation the way I look into it.
Yeah.
I'm going to address one more thing for you. What is the differentiation for financial institutions? Look, what every financial institution has their own mission and purpose. We do allow our extensibility on top of it, the SDKs and APIs, right? So where we have a platform, hey, financial institution, but if you want to change your user experience, if you want to do certain things, use our extensibility kit, which can enable you to do the things, because some financial institutions want their different look and feel. We allow self-serving, you can go and change. Some wants a different kind of a thing. So extensibility enables them to embrace our platform and extend our platform. So that's the way to put it, Betty.
Gotcha. No, thank you. Thank you. And given we have to talk a little bit about or contextualize it to our current economic environment, right? There's a lot of expense reduction, spend reduction, things are kind of slow. So and banks also have to look into that kind of investor guidelines or shareholder returns and stuff. So when you run into those kind of problems, so the bank's digital solution may not be optimal, may not have those four things that you're looking at, right? And they're looking for a change, but it is a huge endeavor to kind of migrate, right? There could be other revenue generating initiatives that it competes with. Do you see that, or in the current sense, how are you looking at kind of digital banking as a growth area for banks?
See, the reality in front of us, we are living in a consumer driven economy. Consumers are demanding at this moment of time because everyone is carrying the mobile device with them. Mobile is becoming an integral part of our life. So what we are seeing is, it is not a matter of a choice at this moment of time. Should I go and invest in the digital or not? It has become an integral part of your solution, which is expected. If I'm opening an account with you as a financial institution, I'm expecting you to provide me with this digital experience. So what I'm saying is what we are seeing more and more, especially post-pandemic, there is a more and more effort going towards digitization, because they are realizing, hey, everyone wants this. Like, I want to sit on my couch and watch TV and do the things on my bank, you know, move the money, deposit my check and all those things. So we are seeing, Patty, a shift where more financial institutions are heading towards the digitization. And this is where Alchemy comes into a picture, because we provide them the platform. And it is a major undertaking, don't get me wrong, for the platform. But this is where we make it easier for them so that they have a peace of a mind using our platform. But definitely the shift towards digitization is not stopping. I think it is going to continue to escalate in coming years.
Yeah, they should all look into that, right? I'm sure you have use cases where you've successfully done that for credit unions and banks, and they have kind of improved on their business metrics, so to speak, right? So no, wonderful. And it is 2023, right? Since January, and it's December, we've been talking about AI and Gen AI. So we'd be remiss if we don't go there. But before we go there, Deep, Before we leave kind of the TechFin category, and given your experience, you talked a little bit about mortgage tech as well as Varo or Neobank. So paint us the picture, right? Yeah, obviously you focused on Alchemy, but what's kind of the general view of the neobank space now? I think it's run into some headwinds, especially in the US, and you talked a little bit about the difference in US and UK and stuff. But tell us, what's your...
I think that the way to look into is technology in last 20 years is like, it all started with Apple phone coming out, right? And like, it just changed the game. Now, if I need a car ride, I can sit in my office and I can order the Uber and the tech, you know, Uber is there, I go and change. So I think what we are now seeing is consumers, and especially when it comes to the US, we not been on the forefront of innovation when it comes to the banking. We've been very slow. When you compare some of the Asian countries, when you compare UK, they've been ahead in this game and we won't. Now what we are seeing is investors' pressures are coming in. Regulators wants to innovate. And I was at Varo Bank for 4 years working very closely with regulators and all those things. I think the birth of the neobanks coming in, what they started by the sponsored bank model, I'm going to use this bank, but I'm going to bring this user experience, the change, you know, which consumers were not getting because we were not innovating. So then we started seeing, you know, the Chimes and Revolts and the Varo banks, they started coming in. Then we started seeing a shift where in UK, companies like Monzo, they have built their own infrastructure end to end from their general ledger system. So I think now what we are seeing is more neobanks are working towards thinking, how do I get the charter approval? How do I start building that relationship with the consumer directly rather than going through the sponsored bank model? They are helping foster the culture of innovation to drive this economy, which is also helping those credit unions and the banks because they have to compete. They have to, otherwise what's going to happen? They are going to lose their customers to those new banks coming in. But the big differentiator, Paddy, what I have seen is in spite of the digitization, there is a desire by the members to go to the branches to keep those relationships, mm-hmm. right? So what the shift you're going to see is neobanks are going to come, but at the end of the day, it's mostly, you know, to provide the best consumer experiences, providing the innovation. And this is where I feel industry is going to go through the transformation. But we, as an Alchemy, sitting on top of a technology platform, can enable those credit unions and banks not to worry about investing their own millions and millions of dollars to compete with the neobanks. Rather, we provide them technology so that they can keep their existing customers or the members and acquire new members.
Yeah, no, thank you for that perspective. And you're right about the charter and even maybe from monoline to multi-line, right? So even the large fintechs like Block and SoFi, they've all acquired charters over time, not now, like even pre-COVID, I think, or around COVID. And they've expanded just not from deposit or payments into lending and even into wealth and things, right? So I think that that's happening. And interesting, thanks for sharing that perspective. And as I said, it's 2023 and AI may not be the only trend. Maybe I should pause it or pose this question to you. In digital banking, in the space you are, what are some of the kind of the macro trends, right? That both from a technology perspective, like could be AI, Gen AI, or also from a functional perspective, right? More increased focus on small business banking or things like that. So I'd love to hear what you see from where your vantage point.
Yeah. And I think let's start with AI first, right? Because that's so what happened recent years, just ChatGPT has, so AI is not a new thing. It's an old thing. It's been in existence for long. ChatGPT has just increased the awareness to the level that everyone is now talking about. Every marketing thing you see, Gen AI, Gen AI, Gen AI is becoming. So to me, I think what is happening is we are living in a little bit hyper-focused market where every marketing and marketers are talking about Gen AI. And then, but I think at the end, the way I look into it, where AI is going to play a role in our banking industry or the finance industry. So let's talk about that first, right? So one is there is a difference between a personalized hyper-personalization and an individualization. You, Paddy, goes to Amazon site, you buy one item and it shows, hey, you just bought this. Here is a similar product you can buy. But when you come to your banking side, that's not the way it works when it comes to the money. The path in your career where you are with your financial situations is very different from me. When you and me are on the Amazon website, maybe the product what we are buying, we can have the similar taste, but when it comes to the money is different. So what I call, we are going to continue to see how the data is going to evolve into the insights and how financial institutions are going to use those insights to drive the actions to engage the members. And I call that as either hyper-personalization or the individualization. Hey, Deep, we have been seeing that you have in your saving account $50,000. We offer CD with 5% return rate. Do you want to take that? So data is there. We drove the insights that we know the money you have. We want Deep you to take an action so that you can get the 5% return. So to me, it's an individualization, right? So you're going to continue to see AI to some level going to play a role, drive the patterns, bring the insights, and drive the personalization and individualization. That's what we are going to see. Second area, which I think which is going to continue to be as more and more financial institutions are adapting to the digitization, which is the front office. Paddy, there is a middle office and there is a back office. The pressures are going to come to increase the efficiencies there. So what we are going to see a shift in more robotic process automation entering into these areas, and this is where AI can come and help in those areas in the middle office and the back office to improve, how we do, lending applications approval. How do we think about, hey, Deep, we are detecting some fraud happening in your system. So we are going to continue to see robotic process automation, the back office taking a lead on risk and the fraud areas we are going to see. There is real-time transactions monitoring. When you are swiping your card, can we detect and say there is a fraud happening? You're going to see AI playing a role. There is another area which we don't talk about, but this, I believe, in the coming years can become more on the AI, whether you think about augmented reality or the virtual reality, right? I'm at home and I need to talk to a financial advisor rather than going to a branch. Can I use the virtual reality to do that? So those are the areas. But I still want to address the Gen AI, how Gen AI is going to help. I think Gen AI is going to help when I'm interacting with, the customer service of the financial institutions. I can get to the answers at a much faster pace. I'm expecting a tax refund. Gen AI can go and generate and say, hey, Deep, we know you are calling for the tax refund status. Here is your status, right? I think the customer service area, I definitely feel, is the one area where Gen AI can play a role. Literacy, financial education and the literacy. I think there is a lot of inclusion needs to happen in this country where, I think Gen AI can play a role in increasing the awareness so that, our students don't have to pay those big loans and all those things. I think it can go and help you educate early on and how to save more money or what you need to do. So I think Gen I has a role to play. We are going to go through a little bit of a normalization stage before we will start seeing the benefits of those areas in coming years.
Gotcha. No, love it. Thanks for sharing that kind of deep perspective and the front office and breaking it into more the experience as well as the efficiency from automation and things, and also drilling into Gen AI. Let's unpack it a little bit, because we're kind of into very interesting stuff, right? I track kind of the role of Gen AI and AI in some other verticals as well, right? So a couple of examples is like the Khan, right? The Khan Academy, the tutoring platform. They released a product called Khan Amigo, which is kind of an AI-based tutor for students, right? And he wants to get one tutor per student. Basically, every tutor will have a individualized, like you just said, right? Kind of the analogous kind of application might be an individual banker or AI-based banker eventually, right? Same thing in programming or developer, right? Microsoft and others have co-pilots, right? For developer co-pilots or programmer co-pilots. So each programmer has kind of an aide, right? So in banking, are we looking at something like Khan Amigo or co-pilots? What do you think, kind of, enlighten, if you will, for our audience, how the form factor will be? Will it be kind of like a bot-like conversational interface? Will it be a very smart, digital, very hyper-personalized, like the website and mobile banking?
Yeah.
Or some combination, right? And time will tell, maybe. But Deep, would love to hear what you think, how this will transpire.
And I like it the way you said the time will tell. But let me walk you through the journey of the behavior. So we have trained, so consumers, when you think about, and Paddy, I will ask you to think from your point of view, our relationship with our banks at this moment of time is more of a transactional relationship.
True.
What we do is, when we open up our bank, the first thing we do is we look into our balance. I have a mental view of my balance. I look into my balance, and if my balance is same, I don't go more than. So current relationships, what we have built and trained, is transactional relationships. What I call is more of a transactional. I go to the ATM machine, swipe $20, I'm done. I have seen the ATM machines. Hey, do you want to do this? How many times I have clicked that? Zero. How many times you have clicked? Zero. I go to a branch, I enter, teller welcomes me and says, I say, I need this money. Sir, we offer you this CD. Do you want to do this? No, no, no. I'm good. I move on. Transactional relationships.
Yeah.
Now what is happening is, with digitization, those transactional relationships are getting converted into an emotional relationship. Okay. Now, this transition of an emotional relationship, how do I build a relationship with an app when I log in? Okay. When I log in, it should be self-aware system, or it should not be a self-aware system. Money and the health are, money is the one thing you don't tell people, hey, Deep, you're about to spend $5 in Starbucks, don't spend it. No, you don't do that, right? Because it's Deep's choice, what Deep wants to do. But you can guide Deep. Hey, Deep, you're about to spend $5. I have $1 coupon for you if you want to spend. That's good, right? What we are going to see, this hyper-personalization, or the example what you gave it, or the Khan, there is going to, some smartness is going to start coming into that emotional relationship, which knows you as a Paddy, which knows me as a Deep, and then it can help us guide on the next steps. That's what's going to happen, because it will go and say, oh, Deep, I know that you spend, you know, you bill pay XYZ every 3 weeks. Your next bill payment is coming up. We recommend you do this, right? So you're going to see that kind of a relationship evolving. But ultimately, I think what I strongly believe, it will take time for us as a humans to start leaning on machines to start making my financial decision-making process, because the only person I'm going to trust is myself the most. That's what my... So I think technology is going to evolve, but it is going to take a little bit time to get to that state where your device is just your assistant on a day-to-day basis. That's the way I see the future.
Yeah, no, love it, right? If you kind of go back before all this digital transformation, the community banks, even some of the regionals and credit unions, their biggest moat or biggest differentiation was that kind of relationship banking that you kind of talk about, right? They knew you and they would serve you. That's why they were in existence. But obviously the bigger banks came in and kind of changed them. They could invest more in tech and reduce the transaction costs, and they had some advantage. Obviously they have grown if you look at the last 20 years of data. But what you're describing, Deep, I connected to it, right? It's almost high tech and high touch, or high tech enabling you for that high touch, or as you call it, emotional and very individualized banking. So the segment that you serve, right, the credit unions, community banks, and even some of the mid-size, right, regional banks, your technology can help them kind of get that mode and grow their business and compete against some of the larger banks as well. So wonderful. I love it.
Awesome. No, this is great. And again, I think with the way I look into it, technology is an enabler. That's what's going to happen. And whether we like it or not, technology is going to continue to move with its speed. That's what's going to happen. Till that time, technology is helping you as a financial institution. Till that time, technology is helping you as an end user or a member. I'm willing to embrace it. I'm willing to take it. But if you are going to overwhelm my cognitive load, I have to think about it. I'm not going to use it. Like, Perry, how often do you go and see an ad which is more connected to you rather than connected to everyone? When something is connected to me, my emotions come out and say, oh, I can relate to it. But so this is where I think, Teddy, we are entering into a phase of a technology innovation, which is coming into this finance and the banking industry. And I'm looking, and that's the reason I came to Alchemy, because I want to be part of this change and bring this technology to make to the next level.
Wonderful. Yeah. And then thanks for sharing that. And this is good. As you said, it could take time, right? This is not just imminent. But In closing, Deep, what's next? Well, what's in 2024? What are some of the big priorities for you? And in terms of, I have an audience of obviously bankers, startups, and investors. So who are you particularly trying to connect, and what about? So that how do people get in touch with you? And anything you want to add in closing?
I will say, when it comes to from an Alchemy point of view, our goal continues to be how Alchemy is going to continue to invest in a technology to provide the best-in-class digital sales and service platform, which is reliable, scalable, performant, quality, and it can drive the efficiency. So that's what we're going to continue to do. What we want to do is we want to stay ahead in the game and look into what is happening in the technology space, not just 1 year. We want to go 5 years down the line and see how this is going to change and bring those technology innovations to our financial institutions at the faster pace, so they don't need to worry about losing their members and their customers. So for us, when we look into from an Alchemy point of view, we go and see what are the pain points. So for example, real-time payment, we know is going to become pervasive. How we stay ahead in the game when it comes to the real-time payment. We are looking into what role ChatGPT is going to play into this financial side. we are looking into, what we are going to do with the AI, how we bring more data. So I will say those are the areas what we are going to stay focused in 2024. But ultimate goal is to make it easier for our financial institutions to stay engaged with their members using our platform, and members keep on getting this reliable platform. So that's what we're going to stay focused.
Great, great. I love this. And I love some of the things you talk about, Deep, including tech fin category, the emotional individualized banking, hyper-personalized, including bringing back emotionality into the relationship rather than transactional. So fintech talkers do keep track of Deep and Alchemy, because they're going to do big things. And Deep, where are you on social media? People want to connect to LinkedIn, X. Do you want to give out anything so that when people can reach out?
Yeah, I'm on a LinkedIn. Just search for Deep Verma, and happy to connect with any one of you. If you just don't be a salesperson to sell me anything, but if you need any guidance on the technology or anything, I'm available to reach out to you. I'm also on a Twitter with Deep Verma, and I'm happy to connect with people. And, I'm fanatic about consumers, members, and the technology. So reach out to me, anything I can do to help.
Okay. Deep Verma, Varma on LinkedIn, and X,
that's it.
Which is Twitter now, or X, which was Twitter.
It's just Twitter.
No, yeah. Thanks, Deep, for being on the FinTech Talk Show.
Thank you. Thanks, Patty, for having me today.
Okay. Welcome, FinTech Talkers, to another edition of the FinTech Talk Show. I'm your host, Patty. My guest today is Bhushan Rangachari, CEO of Finzly, a Series A BaaS and payments technology provider company. Stay tuned today if you want to learn more about what's next in payments and transaction banking and the future of embedded finance and how AI is going to change all this. Welcome, Bhushan, to the FinTech Talk Show.
Thanks, Betty. Thanks for inviting me. I'm glad to be here.
Awesome. So before we get into digital payments, AI, embedded finance, and what Finzly does, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, Bhushan, and what led you to this journey? I know I have known you for some time, actually, and we've kind of met on and off, but I'd love to kind of get my audience to know a little bit more about you.
Sure. I'm Bhushan, and founded Finzly about 11 years ago. Before that, worked for a bank, one of the large bank. Dealt with a lot of technical nuances, technical debt that we see at your banks. And being an engineer, I felt like, hey, it doesn't have to be this way. It has to be much, much better than what the banks are experiencing. It was just a legacy, like it's same thing we're still experiencing, same legacy technologies, too many systems, too much of integrations, and every project takes years and years to launch and innovate. Being an engineer, I felt like that needs to change. So left the bank and started Finzly. And our initial focus was to launch a foreign exchange platform, so to make it much faster. So banks like large bank like Wells, it had so many challenges in terms of technology. My thought was, hey, how about the next level of banks? If this large bank has this much technical debt, and then a large team, 100 plus team members solving problems for them, not every bank can afford that kind of technology or can invest that kind of money. So my initial thought was, hey, let's go and build something great. So today we are market leader in foreign exchange trading and payment platform. International banking that includes buying, selling currencies, processing payments, multi-currency accounts, multi-currency lending. So anything related to multi-currency international banking, we are the market leader. We almost serve every regional and community bank that is doing for FX and international banking today. Very proud of that fit. So next, we started, just since we have built so much, and we felt like, hey, this great technology is great, but we are solving and addressing only a small segment of the banks. And so we expanded that offering at the time You know, the real-time payments were of big news. You know, I was one of the faster payment task force member, and looking at what was going on, kind of, you know, understood the nuances of domestic payments and what is going on. And then got very excited about what was happening in Europe about open banking space. And at the time, India UPI was a brand new launch, and it was making a lot of good noise there. So, you know, looking at all of those stuff, I realized, hey, you know, there is something that we have to do here in the US. So what we, you know, looking at that platform, we know that banks are, you know, primarily the biggest challenges, if you see, they have too many systems and integrations are too complex. User experience is too bad. They are always behind in catching up with technology and innovation. So these are the four problems we wanted to solve. So, you know, we launched a great platform from their bank operating system, and that has been revolutionary as usual. And, you know, it's kind of taking the banks to the next level, right? The future of the finance.
Gotcha. Now, a lot of things you said there, Bhushan, and a lot to unpack. Right from kind of the tech debt. Yeah, you have an engineering background, so you spotted that. And along with kind of things that are happening in the FX and the international and the multi-currency world, real-time payments, I'd love to get into it because that seems to be kind of top of mind or front of mind for a lot of folks. And then open banking, that's particularly an area of my interest, kind of, I see is an kind of evolution of that space into kind of embedded finance and things. So we'll love to kind of get more into that. And then you also mentioned UPI and kind of other payment or more open payment infrastructures around the world. Some argue or some say that's more kind of modern and more advanced, if you will, than the infrastructure in the US. So we'll love, if you have time, kind of talk about that. And of course, AI, right? AI is front of mind. It's 2023. Mm-hmm. Everyone talks about AI and Gen AI. So if we take those four, five, six items, Bhushan, which one do you want to kind of drill down first? I'll give you the choice.
I think I'm good with anything, but as you started with payments, maybe we can start with payments.
Sounds good. So payments has been around for a long time, right? There's obviously domestic payments, international payments. Now you have RTP or real-time payments. So what do you kind of, not from a tech debt perspective or a technology perspective, but just from a business perspective, what are some of the biggest drivers, especially from a financial institution, somebody who's running transaction banking or commercial banking for a large bank, right? What do they tell you? What are their chief concerns?
Yeah, I think, you know, even before we get into these concerns, right, maybe it is better to talk about how we got here, right? Why are we having these concerns? If you look at the payment landscape, the evolution of the payments, you know, initially everything was cash and then we had checks, right? Everything was written in checks. And, you know, from the checks, and then we had ACH. Hey, you know, we don't want to take these checks, deposit at your bank, and then they ship those checks to another bank. There was a clearing system. So, you know, there were too many manual processes, and that's an evolution process, you know. Human mind always thinks in terms of incremental evolution, not that big bank, you know, like Steve Jobs type of innovation, right? So from checks, we went to ACH. Hey, let us won't send these checks. Let's start clearing through your file. You know, you capture this one, and then we will settle the payments through your clearinghouse. You know, that's a good step from checks to ACH. You know, that was great at the time. And then from checks, and then, like, you know, the ACH takes 3 days to settle, and I have an immediate urgent payment need. And then banks came out with wire platform, chips and wires platform, which is basically your real-time, you know, more faster payment. It's not real-time, but much faster payment to between two accounts or two banks. You know, that this is what happened in the last 30 years. Before, you know, in the last, after 30 years, in the last 30 years, there has not been any new evolution of that point. Obviously, we had cards, the debit cards and credit cards. You know, it kind of eliminated some of the challenges we had in terms of the real-time payments. It certainly transformed the e-commerce and merchant shopping and all the experiences. But it's still not a real-time settlement, right? You know, you just debit, only your account gets settled, and then, you know, end of the day or 2-3 days later, the bank settle among themselves. And all this bulk processing of files and transactions leads to, you know, reconciliation issues. And also, if you look at the checks, right, check is the number one source of fraud. If I know your bank account number and routing number, I can print a check, I can deposit, and then, you know, walk away with that money. Even before you realize somebody has taken that money, now bank, you know, whichever bank has delivered that payment, now, you know, they have to take that loss. That's totally not right, right? You know, it was good again. And as this journey evolved, we never went back and addressed the foundational issues that should have been resolved. So come to real-time payments. Now we have, you know, two more options for the customers, RTP and FedNow. Now banks are dealing with 5-6 different products, right? It's just not a payment product anymore. It's a, you know, checks, ACH, wires, RTP, FedNow, international, and then you add cards, and then you add Zelle, and then it just kind of keeps on increasing. So the thing is, banks are like, hey, what do I do? It's like, you know, customers are confused, right? And customers are forced to do things that they are not supposed to do. For example, today, if you want to go, if you go to a bank, the bank will ask you, hey, do you want to send ACH? That means I need to know what is an ACH payment means. I need to know what are the rules and regulations of ACH payments. And then if I have to do wires, I need to know the details of wires. So basically, I have to deal with all these products the bank is dealing with. That's not, you know, the experience that the customers today, they are looking for. So the major challenge for these banks are there are too many systems here, too many payment systems, too many payment options. But if you look at the customers, they just look for payment. They just want to send. If I have to send X dollars to Paddy, hey, Paddy, I want to send this one. And the bank will ask, hey, you want to send it today or real time, or you want to send it 2 days later? You know, that's what it matters. I really don't have to know what is an ACH system, wire, whatever it is. I really don't care, right? FedEx, you really don't care about how it is shipped. You just ship the products. Amazon, we really don't know who's delivering the product. We just care about that experience. So if you start with the customer experience, customer are looking for an experience, but banks are selling the products, right? What needs to change on the bank is they need to stop selling the products, start focusing on the experiences. So that's why you see fintechs are very successful because they focus on experience while the banks are focused on the products.
Gotcha. And that might be a good segue to what Finzly does, right? I love that kind of the way you build that up, right? Too focused on product and infrastructure and mechanisms and stuff when a customer only wants to send money from one point to another or pay somebody, right? So where does Finzly or what does Finzly bring in to kind of shift that paradigm from product centricity to experience centricity?
Yeah, That's great. So, you know, again, as I said, the banks are today, they're dealing with multiple systems. What we tell them is, hey, don't deal with products, focus on experience. So instead of, the challenge that in the previous model that you have is you have 5-6 different payment systems, right? Every one of these payment system have a middleware API layer. Every one of these payment system has a user experience. Every one of these payment system have to connect to their core, AML, fraud, OFAC, reporting, you know, customer data, name it, right? There are like 15 different systems. So think about, you know, 5 payment systems connecting to 15 different other systems. You are having like 75 different integration points. That's just like insane. Like, you know, we just continue to focus on incremental innovation, right? Our strategy, when we started this one, our strategy is, hey, let's forget about how it has evolved, right? Just the SpaceX strategy of Elon Musk, where he built that one and it cost him only 1/10 of the cost it cost NASA to launch a satellite. So given the technologies available today, given the experience that we want to build, what needs to be built for the banks? So what we did was we looked at, hey, these are the payment rates, right? If I have to build a system for FedEx, all I have to focus on is their experience. So we started with their experience. Customer, starting with the customer, they just have to select where they want to send money and now experience, economy plus, express, or real time, right? And then we give those options. And then the customer cares about the cost, obviously, you know, that's the important thing. And every method has a different cost. So that's why in a lot of banks, they get worried about, is the real-time payment is going to cannibalize my wire income or other income? I tell them, stop thinking in terms of the product, you know, start focusing on the experience. Once you start focusing on the experience, what you do behind really doesn't matter, correct? So, you know, so you start with that experience. We give you a very nice simplified user experience the banks can deliver to the customers. Now, okay, that's great. Now, what happens to the bank side? Banks still on the banking side, on the processing side, back office, they still have 5-6 different systems. So we displace all of that using a one single system, right? One platform, it's a payment galaxy. So it runs in a bank operating system. That's another thing that I can talk about what an operating system does. But it's a one single payment platform that processes payments of all types, right? We just deal with that experience. Behind the scene, it could be, you know, any payment options. The beauty of that is it connects to every one of the core AML fraud just only once. So once you have one connection for, let's say, ACH, adding wires, RTP, FedNow, it just becomes much easier. Tomorrow, who knows what is the new payment rail, you know, somebody else is going to launch. What if the bank wants to adopt that one? Nothing has to change from the experience perspective. You just plug in that another payment rail. And, you know, that's how fast banks should think about innovation, right? Focus on experience, not about the products. So, you know, so our solution is primarily helping the banks to have a one single payment system. And we do that in a way without disrupting the current infrastructure, because that's one thing banks do not want to disrupt, right? They want to be transformed. They can run the old systems as it is, and we run it in a site. You know, we can displace their ACH day one, or we can displace their wire on day one. Or some banks, they want to just use us for APIs to simplify their experience, because, you know, it comes with that complete payment orchestration and workflow management. And it offers a one single API that does payments for all things. So banks can use us for just for API layer, or they can use us to displace wires or displace ACH or RTP FedNow. It really doesn't matter, right? So we kind of solve it in a very innovative way. So, you know, we are being very successful. And banks were like, wow, you know, the moment they see this platform, they know that this is the platform they want to be in for the future.
I'm not surprised. You're simplifying it for them. You're bringing in the technology simplification. And if I look in the market, right, Stripe and even Goldman Sachs, I think they all have cash management treasury services they've launched in the last some months or years. And I think what you're offering, Bhushan, is kind of a parity solution for other banks to be, say, like Stripe's treasury management services. So banks should just sign up and leverage, right? They can be competitive and get more clients, because their clients would love the experience. So I'm like very excited.
Absolutely.
This is very cool. You mentioned about BankOS and also embedded finance, right? So let's talk a little bit about that, and if we can kind of combine those. Like the whole BaaS, banking as a service, which was basically platformization of banking, and I'm thinking BankOS is kind of tied or connected to that, has evolved, and people kind of talk more about embedded finance, right? So how do you see that space evolving, and how do you see yourself playing in that role?
Yeah, great question. You know, right, this year is all about BaaS, right? A lot of news about BaaS and a lot of regulations. And so, you know, as you can see, like, you know, that, you know, banks didn't have an API, right? There are a lot of fintechs came up. and they started offering their banking as a service APIs. And it's a must, right? It changed the game for a lot of the players, like Kotra and, you know, so many other fintechs which launched on top of these APIs. And you know, it's needed, certainly needed. But what happened was, you know, banks lost the connection with the customers, with the providers of the services, right? So the layers that was created on top of the banks, that was fantastic. But behind the scene, it is still old banking system. You still have to use files. You still have to deal with the reconciliation issues. You know, the experience provided by the fintechs were great, but banks have to deploy so many humans to deal with those nuances of, dealing with that complexities of this additional layer. Because what happens is, when you are a bank and you are serving a fintech, and the fintech is serving their customers, now the bank is not only dealing with their one customer, they are dealing with another layer of customers. It becomes very complex because, you know, let's say there is a bank serving a new bank, right? You call Chime. So if you are a Chime customer and I'm sending money to your account, it is not Chime is not receiving that money. It is the bank serving Chime is receiving that money. And then now the bank has to tell Chime, hey, here's the money. So, you know, if it is just like one account, it's easy, but it's a millions of accounts. It just like a reconciliation becomes a nightmare. So, you know, we solve that problem in a very easy and simplistic way so that the bank can tell the Chime in real time, hey, here is this $100 that needs to be deposited in Paddy's account. Then, you know, Chime can deposit it in real time because it's no more batch. So we have kind of taken the BaaS to the next level. And we see BaaS as just like additional channel, right? It is, you know, yes, it's needed, but the banks needs to offer just like the digital banking, mobile banking, APIs are another channel of opportunities for these banks, not only for these fintechs, like other enterprise customers too. You know, their ERPs can connect through these APIs, their, you know, title management companies can connect through these APIs to disperse payment through the wires. So, you know, that's why, like, you know, the banks have a challenge. They have to displace their current system to be innovative and also get ready for the next generation. So, you know, finding another replacement solution is not going to take them far. They need to think about, you know, 2025, 2030. So that's where we focus more on. We don't try to, you know, displace any of this existing system, but focus more on taking the banks forward where they have to be.
Got it. Yeah, no, a true API, just like a branch or internet or digital mobile, it can be seen as a channel for both sales and service. No, great example there. Switching gears, it's 2023, right? We'll be remiss if we don't kind of touch on AI and Gen AI. So what I'm seeing out there is a lot of kind of assistants and co-pilots and human augment, not human replacement just yet. Maybe it's coming, right? As things evolve, but definitely for programmers, there's going to be a co-pilot. There's already a co-pilot for designers. There's already a co-pilot. If we kind of look into the treasury, cash management, payments, and payment operations and other businesses, where do you see AI and even Gen AI playing a role? I mean, the usual suspects of fraud detection and all that's there. But do you see more than that?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. You know, I am a big fan of AI. And, you know, in the past, there have been a lot of hypes on so many other technologies, you know, blockchains and cryptos. I'm not a fan of those. You know, I'm a big fan of blockchain technology. But I didn't find a practical use case that can be used in the banking space, right? There are other use cases that are an absolutely great technology. I love it, but definitely not a big fan of cryptos. But when it comes to the Gen AI, I really believe it is going to be very transformational, not only for the financial industry, for across, you know, every industry that you can talk about, right? So if you just focus on the banking industry, I see, you know, there are various use cases just in the banking. If I'm an enterprise customer, you know, that finance departments have to deal with so many Excel sheets. All of them are, you know, building out some dashboards or creating some reports or matching some reconciliation issues, that kind of stuff, right? So if I'm a CFO, you know, I have to create a report. Typically, I rely on either an ERP system. You know, even then, it comes with some standard out-of-the-box reports. But if I need something very specific, you know, I have to rely on people, and they are going to create an Excel sheet and then, you know, create something, whatever the CFO needs. And think about a Gen AI sitting in between the CFO and the bank. And the bank has all these transactions and everything that it needs. And, you know, you run your report, hey, give me this report, boom, boom. I can automatically go and collect the data and then create that report and send it to him. So the data is there. I would expect, you know, a lot of innovation happening on that space facing the customer. You know, almost every bank will offer a bank GPT version to these customers. And, you know, in addition to that one, think about the bankers. Like, you know, the bank also deals with a lot of challenges inside as well. So your relationship manager can go and ask for, hey, give me the customers who have created the most number of tickets, right? I don't have to ask someone, IT department or someone, you know, give me the top 10% of the unhappy customers so I can start having some conversations. Or I can go and chat GPT, I can say, hey, can you initiate an email conversations, you know, offering something to those unhappy customers? So all those things are, there is like so many things that can be done. I think the use cases are endless. This is going to be, I would say, the next big internet boom, right? Just like the industry specialists are saying, I'm certainly looking forward to seeing how it can be done. So we are also continuing to, you know, investing big on Gen AI. And we are hoping to launch some new experiences to our banks and banks' customers.
Gotcha. And you recently raised a Series A, and I know you have a strong kind of roadmap. So I wouldn't be surprised if Finzly, besides being the bank OS, also gets into that autonomous and AI and co-pilot kind of mode for the payments and the digital payment space. So looking forward to those developments, Bhushan.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And in closing, now, as I mentioned, you just raised the Series A. So what's in the future? And we talked about Gen AI and AI. That's obviously one part of the future. But what else is in your roadmap around both product and customer acquisition? Are you going up market, overseas, or staying kind of more focused domestically? So what's next for Finzly in 2024?
Yeah, I think, you know, we did a fundraising and it's a small round, and, you know, certainly to focus more on R&D and also expansion of our marketing, sales and global expansion. You know, we didn't build the product just for one market segment. We have built the product for any market segment, right? As you rightly said, like, you know, Goldman Sachs of the world has those API transaction banking capabilities, but not any everybody else. So we, you know, we can, any bank that works with us can stand up and compete with Goldman Sachs. They can stand up and compete with any fintechs in the world, right? So that's the kind of game that we want to play. We are not, again, certainly not here to displace anything, but take the banks to the next level where they are supposed to be. So as you can imagine, the future is all, you know, it's open. It's open, real time, and connected, right? So if I file an insurance claim, the insurance company approves the claim and I get paid instantly. You know, that basically Uber transformed that experience, right? All Uber drivers, they're getting paid same day and everybody wants to get, you know, if I'm a Uber driver, I go and work somewhere else and I'm told like, hey, you're going to get your paycheck 2 weeks later. I'm like, what? You know, I will go back and start driving again. So, you know, it kind of changed that experience, right? Everybody wants to get paid in same time, real time. You know, if there are tips, I want to have my tips same day so that I can watch a movie or have fun with my friends. So it's kind of it's real time, and with the launch of FedNow, you know, it's also going to help the merchants big time, right? You know, the debit cards, certainly credit cards, certainly gave you a real-time experience. I would say it's a fake real-time experience, even though it is real-time for the customers. It's not real-time for the merchants, right? They receive the payments later. And it's also expensive for the merchants. So what we certainly see is pay by bank is going to be a really big thing that's going to happen for these banks. And then, you know, that's one thing. Plus, as I said, future is all connected. Think about, you know, even your taxes, you know, your tax liabilities, businesses, all those things, if it comes real time, the world will be super good, right? You don't have to worry about how much taxes you pay. It's all calculated real time, and you know how much you owe, how much you got to pay, and everything gets processed in real time. And think about, you know, disaster payments coming to you in real time. You know, the good news is Fed, they already announced Department of Treasury is going to use FedNow. That's a big thing. It's just a, you know, one good step. But I think as an industry, we are still years behind in terms of where we have to be, you know, in terms of the expectations of the customers. So I see the future is more connected, real time, and embedded, which means the banking will be invisible, but there will be bank that kind of, you know, available in your pocket. You know, it's banking is going to be there everywhere. And I'm a big fan of Brett King's Bank 4.0. You know, he's a big thought leader in terms of where the banking is going towards. You know, I really believe banking is going to be there everywhere. And it's not, you know, just not going to happen in branches or in your online or your mobile. It's going to be embedded in your lifestyle, in your experiences. So in order to make that happen, banks need to start taking the steps towards modernizing their infrastructure. You know, APIs are the must. It's not an option anymore. You know, it has to be available. And then, you know, great payment systems, great core systems. So the reason we launched BankOS is to help the banks to start adopting these technologies. It's an innovation platform. It is just not a payment system. You know, payment is one of the capabilities available in bank operating system. In addition to that, we have the deposit and the virtual account capabilities. We are adding other bank products, you know, that we'll be announcing soon. It's a totally innovation platform for the banks to plan for the future, you know, for a real-time, open, connected economy.
Gotcha. Thank you, Bhushan. So ubiquitous banking front-ended by maybe lifestyle applications is the future, according to Bhushan. That's wonderful. Greatly put. Before we close out, Bhushan, how should people get in touch with you? You want to leave out social media or any other information for potential hirees or partners or bank customers? I have all sorts of listeners to the show.
Certainly. Anybody can log into and visit our website, Finzly, finzly.com. And you can also reach me on LinkedIn, Bhushan Rangachari. My handle is Bhushan, Bhushan. And you know, anybody can also connect to us through email, connect@finzly.com.
Great. Thank you, Bhushan, for being on the FinTech Talk Show.
Wonderful. Thank you, Paddy. It was great discussions. Thanks for inviting me. Okay.
Awesome.